Our scripture this morning is from the book of Hebrews. If you're flipping through your New Testament like I just did, it's the one right after the book of Philemon, which you can read in just a few minutes because it's only one page. And as you're flipping through, I always tell people you'll get to Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And if you find any of those four books, you know where you are, because it spells out General Electric Power Company. Isn't that cool? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And then you'll turn just a few more pages and you'll come to the magnificent work of Hebrews, which some folks think is written by the Apostle Paul. I always love to say we're really not sure who wrote it, but I believe she was brilliant. We really don't know, but it is a sermon, amen? Yeah, a sermon to the early church. And I always love finding encouragement in it, because when I think of those that are faithful, that are in my life, it seems like they would fit really well in Hebrews 11. The whole chapter is about those that have been courageous in faith. There is a definition at the very beginning of Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. And then, by faith, the good news was brought through generation and generation, through difficulty and trial and through tremendous pain and agony over the oceans. It's this beautiful, inspiring word of, despite all that was against them, the faith remained steadfast. And then it all leads up through chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews to chapter 12, and it carries on, and that's why you get this great big therefore as we begin the scripture this morning in chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? And it says, my dear child, don't shrug off God's discipline, but don't be crushed by it either. It's the child he loves that he disciplines. The child he embraces, he also corrects. This is the word of God for us today, and we say, thanks be to God.
Good morning to you all, and thank you to Pastor Dan for that lead-in. He's like the warm-up act. Yay for the warm-up act. I want us to pray for a few minutes and think about what's happening in our world, what's happening in our politics, and what's happening over in Korea, all those who were killed in that stampede. If you would indulge me, let's pray just for a minute. Loving God, we give you thanks. We thank you for the way that you move in our lives. And we ask God that you be with all of those who have lost family members in the stampede. We ask, God, that you bring calm and comfort. We ask, God, for peace here in our nation. We ask, God, for, again, discernment in all things, in the life of the church, local and universal, and in the life of your people, God, those that you have called, each one deciding that they are right. But God, only you are right. Only you are good. So God, we ask that you bring a light to this nation and then spread that light into the world. We pray in the name of the Christ. Amen. Again, our topic in the Steadfast series is Steadfast Witness. Steadfast means resolutely or dutifully firm and unwavering, to be loyal, to be faithful. And then witness as a noun, a person who sees an event. As a verb, a witness, to have knowledge of from personal observation or experience. So then when we put the words together, steadfast witness, it's one who bears witness faithfully. One who bears witness faithfully. Who bears witness faithfully? Do you know anyone? Are you someone who bears witness faithfully? Just Pastor Dan? Okay, thank God he's the pastor. Who can say that they are faithful witnesses to God? Faithful in confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior. Faithful in following the prompts of the Holy Spirit. We try. I know that there are a lot of you out there. You just didn't raise your hand so we could see it, because Pastor Dan and I would then have an assignment for you. That's right. But I know sometimes we are not always faithful. Even myself, I'm just not always faithful. A lot of times you feel that nudging from the Holy Spirit, urging you to do something, to say something, to call someone, to be a presence somewhere, and you put it off. I put it off. I don't want to speak for you. I put it off. And later on, I find out something happened. If it was someone I was supposed to call, I had a prompting from the Holy Spirit to call that person. And I said, oh, I'm going to do it tomorrow. And then I find out that person's in the hospital. Sometimes just not always faithful to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. But the duty of a witness is to testify. Put that in your heads. The duty of a witness is to testify. A witness who doesn't testify is like one who is blind to what they see. Or like one who has eyes but won't see. Or they won't admit to seeing. A witness who doesn't testify is like one who has no idea of what they just experienced. Unaware of what happened to them. When Lawrence and I first got to San Antonio, we had been on the road for a long time. And of course, after we got settled at my sister's house, first place we went was to church. And there, my sister introduced us as these poor little people who were thrown out of New Orleans because of the flood, and everybody felt sorry for us. And there was a lady, she must have been 80 or 90 years old, and she came up to me, and I thought she just wanted to shake my hand, and she took my hand, and she pressed I thought a note inside, and I figured I would read it, you know, a little bit later. And then after she walked away, I looked, and it wasn't a note at all. It was a $100 bill. And I felt so badly because, like you, I like to be on the side of blessing someone. I don't know why I don't like to be on the side of receiving. It's hard to receive. It always makes us feel good to bless someone else. So this was very hard for me, and I tried to give it back to her, and she refused. So I went over to the pastor, and I pointed her out, and I said, "Would you please give this back to her?" And he said, "She wants this to be a blessing for you. Will you allow her to be that blessing?" I had never thought of it that way. I had never looked at it that way. I would have been denying her the opportunity to bear witness. God had blessed her. And in her compassion, she wanted to bless me. The duty of a witness is to testify. That was her way of testifying how good God is to her. As a child, a youth, young adult, I was exposed to several different denominations. One in particular was Kojic, Church of God in Christ. Every Sunday in the middle of the week when they met, they began service with testifying. One by one, somebody would begin to sing a song and others would join in. Then the person would stand and relate how they missed the mark, so to speak, convicting themselves, then praising and thanking God for Jesus and his saving power, then asking for grace and forgiveness to continue on in the journey. It was their testimony, a testifying before the church body, sharing where they are on this pilgrimage and what they may need to continue to successfully reach their goal. Maybe it was patience, strength, wisdom, guidance. The duty of a witness is to testify. I tried to put together the words that I had heard. I wanted to create for myself this testimony. I wanted to testify. I wanted to be a Christian witness. My word noodle doodle just didn't work. Those specific words belonged to someone else. I realized I couldn't take someone else's testifying, their testimony, and try to make it my own. It was someone else's witness. And it came from that person's experience. How could I testify to what happened, say, in Rhode Island when I've never been to Rhode Island? My testimony had to be created from my own encounter with God. I had to meet Jesus in this special place. I had to encounter the Christ for myself. Be convicted of my sins and my sinful ways. Then realize through grace God's salvation for all in and through Jesus' mighty acts on the cross. Now, I know it's difficult for any of you out there to think I'm sinful. Thank you. And I know there are some of you out there who don't think of yourselves as sinful. Anybody think they have no sin? Did I see a hand? Where is it? All right. Look at it, everybody over here. You have just committed the sin of pride. If we think about Jesus' mighty acts on the cross, that in itself convicts us. Jesus died so that we might live. Jesus paid it all as a ransom so that we might go free. Jesus took the blame for our sins so that we might be found innocent. Once I became a witness, it was not only a duty, but I felt an obligation to testify. Not to be a minister, that was not my objective, but it was an obligation to testify, to tell my testimony of how God lives and moves and breathes in my life. Being a witness carries a lot of responsibility. It means we go forth as apostles to teach about the love of God. That's the hardest thing for me because I am not a teacher. I know we have a lot of teachers out here, and I applaud you. I applaud you. That is not an easy job. And when one of my pastors approached me and said, "Would you teach?" I'm like, "Oh, no." He said, "Well, we need you." And he says, "Yeah, what about the three-year-olds?" I'm like, "Okay." Like that game show, I think I'm smarter than a three-year-old. So I agreed. But what I did find, even in teaching those three-year-olds, that even some of those three-year-olds knew how to testify. They knew how to say how God was working in their lives. And I'll give you, for instance, I had a class all outlined to make sure everybody knew that God was always with them. And I said, "You know, at night, when it's raining," you know it wasn't here in San Antonio because we don't get rain. "When it's raining and it's lightning and it's thundering and you're under your covers and the only thing you see, the whites of your eyes." And one of the little students said, "No, I know God is with me." That was the end of my class. Being a witness means we go forth as apostles to teach. We teach about the love of God, and we bear witness. We testify to that love. There is power in our testimonies. It invites others to search for God and find the works of God in Jesus the Christ in their own lives. You know, there are a lot of people who on a regular basis sit with spiritual directors. And these spiritual directors, as they sit and listen to your story, they help you to see how God is working in your life. Because a lot of times we don't see it. We need others to sit on the outside and look in. But we have to get to a point where we are on the inside and we see too how God is working in our lives. First thing, we don't breathe on our own. God's Holy Spirit is inhaled and we exhale acts of love and mercy. Sharing testimony helps us to heal, and it brings us closer as community. I realized as I listened to testimony after testimony that I was not in this state of sin alone. A lot of times we think about how sinful we are and think that there's nobody else as sinful as us. But there, as we testify, we see that there are others too that had hit bottom. There we were, lost, waiting to be found, empty, longing to be filled, hungry, seeking to be fed. And looking around, we saw that we were not in the struggle alone. You know that saying, misery loves company? Sinners, too, love to sit amongst sinners. That's why they chastised Jesus so much. How could he sit with sinners? But Jesus sits there with us. We're not in the struggle alone. We knew the love and forgiveness of God. And we knew that the strength of the Christian community, we knew it would sustain us. It would revive us and protect us as we continued on. And the more we were fed, we also realized that we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, a multitude that no man can number. The Interpreter's Bible Commentary says it best, so I quote, "By the record of their lives, they reassure us that endurance is possible, that hardship at its worst is but for a day, that the grace of God will sustain us, and that the joys of faith's rewards are enduring. They show us how to greet the promised fulfillment from afar, how to run with perseverance the race that is set before us. And these heroes of the faith are still speaking. And that is why they are witnesses. They are still witnessing to us. When we interpret the cloud of witnesses as a mass gallery eagerly watching our race to see its outcome, then we miss the main point of the author, that they are not mere spectators of the running, but witnesses themselves to the faithfulness of the God who has promised." Unquote. The duty of a witness is to testify. If being a witness carries all these responsibilities of teaching, of healing, of camaraderie, of bearing witness to the love and saving grace of Jesus the Christ, then what does being a witness without bearing witness mean? What does that do to the great cloud of witnesses? Does it dissipate? What does that do to us in community if we don't testify? How would our community grow without a witness who is willing to testify? If God only does good things to the pastor, then why the heck are the rest of us here? How would our community grow without a witness who sees it as a duty? How would our community grow without a witness who was steadfast in that witness? The Apostle Paul was a great and steadfast witness. Almost half of the New Testament is written by Paul. We know not Hebrews. But there are a lot of letters, the epistles, are written by Paul. His hymn of testimony would be Amazing Grace. Now keep in mind, I said when they did testimony, the person would start singing and the congregation would join them. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Paul would then go on to say, I was on the road to Damascus, breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, when all of a sudden a flash of light surrounded me and I fell to the ground. Then I heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Get up and enter the city. There you will be told what to do. My eyes were opened, but I could see nothing. Then I was touched by a servant of Jesus who prayed that I be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately I was filled with God's Spirit and my sight was restored. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Paul went on to become a steadfast witness. He did not stop. Imprisonment did not stop him. Beatings did not stop him. Paul went on to testify, and the church grew. There were those who testified around him as well. What can we do with our witness? What can we do with our witness? I know some of you have a story to tell because you have told it to me. We need to tell it to each other. We need to know how God is working in our lives so that all of us will know how God is working collectively in the church. I don't know what God is doing for you until you tell me. This church does not know what God is doing for the church until we set this church on fire by the Holy Spirit and let each of us know how God is working in our lives. The duty of a witness is to testify. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. He has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless his holy name. That, thank you for singing with me. That is my testimony. God is the light of my life. Whenever adversity is before me, I remember all the wonderful ways God blesses me. And then I cease to worry. I chastise myself because I worried to begin with. So I ask that God forgive me and give me the strength to continue to know that God blesses me through all things. God has brought me literally through the fire. God has brought me literally through the flood. And God has brought me to a life filled with hope. I ask for God's grace to remember God is always with me. God is with me at all times and in all places. So I bless the Lord. And I will continually and steadfastly bless the Lord at all times. And God's praise will continually be in my mouth. There is power in testimonies. And the duty of a witness is to testify. Can I get a witness? If you're not brave enough to come up here and testify this day, I pray that you are brave enough to testify with one another. I know your stories. I've seen a lot of your actions. I know what God is doing. God knows who you are. But we must help someone else come into themselves to help them know who they are by the help of God. There's power in your testimony. And all of us have a duty to testify. Go forth in grace. Go forth in boldness. Know that God is with you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Amen.